Okay, so what we're going to talk about today is the Sarah's banishment of Hagar. Was it legitimate or was it not legitimate? Okay, was she right? Was she wrong? So we're going to see a couple of approaches on that. So we begin in Bereishis Perek Tes Zayin. V'Sarai Eshes Avram Lo Yalda Lo V'Lo Shivcha Mitzvah Shma Hagar. So Sarai, the wife of Avram, did not have a child to him. And she had an Egyptian maidservant. Her name was Hagar. Vatomer Sarai el Avram. Sarai said to Avram, Hinei not Sarani Hashem Miledes. Behold, God has stopped me from giving birth. Bano el Shivchasi. You know, you should come, you know, have relations with my maidservant. Maybe I will build from her. Vayishma Avram l'kol Sarai. Avram listened. Vatikach Sarai Eishes. So again, this is all Sarai's idea. Vatikach Sarai Eishes Avram es Hagar mitzvi shivchasa miketz eser shanim l'sheves Avram be'eretz Kanaan. So Sarai took Hagar, her maidservant, at the end of 10 years after the Avram's living in Eretz Yisrael. So obviously there's some magic about 10 years not having a child that we're concerned you're not going to have a child. Vatitin osa la'Avram isha lo le'isha. And she gave her to Avram as a wife for him. V'yavol Hagar v'tar v'teira ki arasa. So Hagar has relation, Avram's relation with Hagar. She gets pregnant. She sees that she is pregnant. Vatekal gvirta beidaha. So her mistress was lowered in her esteem. She didn't think that Sarai was that chashev anymore and important. So now Sarai gets upset. Vatomer Sarai l'Avram. And Sarai says to Avram, Chamasi alecha. You know, this is your fault, right? So Anochi nasati shivchasei pechekecha. I put my maid in your bosom. Vatera ki harasa. And she saw she was pregnant. Vatekal beinaha. And now I'm lowered in her esteem. Yishbor Hashem b'nei v'necha. Hashem should decide between me and you. And Avram's probably like wondering, like, I don't know, what did I do wrong? I did everything you told me to do. Right? So Sarai is very upset. It seems that Sarai, this is all Sarai's idea. This wasn't Avram's idea. This is Sarai's idea. Avram did whatever Avram basically said, yes, dear, whatever she said. And now Sarai's upset at Avram. And what does Avram say? V'yomar Avram l'Sarai, yinei shivchaseich b'yadeich, asi lo tov b'neich. He says, your maidservant's in your hand, do whatever you want to do. So basically, Sarai treated her harshly, and Hagar fled from her. So an angel of Hashem found her by a spring of water, okay, on the road to Shur. And Hagar, the maidservant of Sarai, said, where are you coming from? Where are you going? But Tomer, and she said, oh, Mipnei Sarai Gvotinu Barachas, I'm running away from Sarai, my mistress. Vayomer lo malach Hashem shuvet gvotech, yisani tachat yadeha. The angel says to her, return to your mistress and continue to be subject to her harsh treatment. Vayomer lo malach Hashem harbe harbe zarech, lo yisfer mirov. And the angel says, I will multiply your children and there'll be too many to count. Vayomer lo malach Hashem, third message, Hina chara vilat ben kras shmo Yishmael ki shma Hashem al nech, and you're going to get pregnant. Behold, you're pregnant, and you are going to have a child, a son. You're going to call him Yishmael because Hashem has listened to your suffering. It's very interesting, right? The angel says, so Sarai is causing Hagar to suffer. The angel is saying, Hashem has heard your suffering, and yet the angel says, return to your mistress and suffer under her. In any case, who you para Adam, he's going to be this wild man. Yado b'kol v'yad kol bo, his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. V'al p'nei kol achav yishkon, he will dwell alongside all of his kinsmen. V'atikra shem Hashem adver la ta kel roi, ki amra agam halo roi si achver roi. She calls the place kel roi. And then al kein kara laber, ber lachayri, for this, the Be'er was called Be'er Lachai Roi, and Vatela Hagor Lavram Bain, Vaikwa Avram Shem Beno Asher Yodah Hagar Yishmael. She gives birth, and the boy is Yishmael, and Avram Ben Shemim Shana V'Shesh Shanim, Legetz Hagar as Yishmael Avram. And Avram is 86 years old when Hagar gives birth to Yishmael. So again, what happens here is, so my first question is the following. What is Hagar's status when, you know, according to Sarai, what should Hagar's status be in relation to Avram. What do you think?
Second fiddle.
What?
Second fiddle, by the way.
Second
fiddle. Not the main person.
But so how do you know that?
She calls him. I mean, he says he's a maid.
Yeah, that was the goal to be. Sandra, what do you want to say, Sandra?
First of all, she was a princess, so she's not used to being a maid.
Okay.
I think that's what Sarai wanted was that she should just be an instrument for Avram to have children, and maybe it would be a schus for her to have children also.
So that
didn't work out that way. She didn't realize how she would feel. And I have a question. It says that she gave him to her wife. Did he marry her?
Well, that's okay. I want to focus on that language, Sandra. And I think that language, I think that language may not reflect what you just suggested. So the first point,
but it sort of changes the whole situation.
I understand. So first of all, you know, in Pasuk Beis it says Ulai banem mimena. Maybe I will build through her. I mean, what is she saying? Is she saying that in the schus of her that I'll get pregnant? Or is she saying maybe she'll have a child and the child will sort of be mine, even though she'll be the biological mother? I think you can read it maybe one of two ways. But let's try to read this exactly, this Pasuk Gimel. Vatiten osel Avram isha lo leisha. Like you're saying, and Baruch, you said second fiddle. I don't know. She gave her to Avram as a wife, no?
In the beginning it says she has a shifra mitzri.
No, I understand. No, in other words, Hagar is clearly, initially, a shifra mitzri. But then Hagar's plan, okay, one second. Hagar's plan is, now, okay, sorry, Sarai's plan is she wants Avram to father a child with Hagar, and it seems that she feels it's inappropriate, I think, that Avram should have relations with a woman who is not married, sort of not his wife, because that's inappropriate. So, Vatiten Osel Avram Isha, but by the way, Lola Isha. That's interesting. Isha to him. So, to him, vis a vis Avram, she's a wife. In other words, what is she to Avram and what is she to Sarah? Is she equal to Sarah? In other words, again, this is Sarai's plan. I think you're right a little bit, Sandra. Maybe you're right. In other words, did Sarai not expect how she would feel, or did Hagar act a certain way that was inappropriate? But I just want to point out that Vatitin also Avram Isha lo Isha is that Sarai gave Hagar as a wife. Not as a maidservant. She gave it as a wife. So let's see how some of the Mefarshim look at this, okay? Yes, what are you saying?
Pasuk
Aleph. So she's a Shifcha. But Sarai's plan is that she gives it to Avram as an Isha. But you're right. Sarai now in Pasuk Hey, even though she gave her to Avram as an Isha, in Pasuk Hey, she's like, wait a second, she's only a maidservant, right? And then Avram said, okay, she's your maidservant. Like you gave her to me as a wife. Why are you blaming it on me? But all I'm saying is, Vatitin Osel La'Avram Isha lo Isha. We have to deal with that language. So if you look in the Hamikdavar, the Netziv, so now that I have it here, so he says, hopefully everyone can see it. So it says the following. Tevas lo miyutar. The word lo is extra. It says la'avram isha. Right? Why did it say lo? It says v'yakov ksiv v'atitein osa l'yakov l'isha. So when it came to Rachel and Leah, right? When Rachel gave Bilha to Yaakov and Leah gave Zilpah to Yaakov, it didn't say Vatitin osa liyakov lo liisha. It was Vatitin osa liyakov liisha, full fledged wife. Ela kidvari shekachu atrai. The legabe Avram levat tehe liisha lo lishivcha. Sarah thought it's what's the Yiddish word, or the, I guess, right? It's pasnish for Avram to father a child with a maidservant. So they would have, they would get married, whatever that would mean. They would get married. But Lagabe Sara, the Tzvei Dina, the two Dinim in Hagar. Lagabe Sara Tehe Leshivcha Kamo Shehaya. She would still, in other words, she would still be Sarah's maidservant, but she would be Avram's wife. That's the deal. Okay? So then, now, was she justified? The Ramban is critical of Sarai. If you look at the Ramban, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Vav, Vata'adeh Asara Tivrach Mipodeha, so Chata Imenu Be'inoy Hazeh. Our matriarch sinned with this oppression. The Gam Avram Banichol Asos came. The fact that Avram allowed this, that was also a problem. Remember, when Sarah wants to banish, in next week's Parsha, when Sarah wants to banish Yishmael from the house, because he's mitzachek, he's mocking, so there Hashem said, Avram doesn't like that, and God says, okay, listen to Sarah. But here, Avram didn't consult Hashem. Avram just let this happen, and the Ramban thinks that Avram was incorrect in doing this. V'shama Hashem el anya, and Hashem listened to her oppression. V'nasa lo ben, shehei per adam lanos zera Avram v'sara v'chol mine ha'inoy. So payback. So now, he gave her a son that would be a wild man that would oppress the descendants of Avram and Sarah in any different types of oppression. Obviously, the Ramban is working with the assumption that, I assume, that the Arabs are descending from Yishmael, which is not necessarily, it may not be factually accurate, but that's, there definitely is a Chazal make that connection between, you know, I think Chazal do, between Arabs and Yishmael. Maybe not, maybe post-Chazal, I don't know. But there definitely is like this feeling, this, that you know, Yishmael is viewed as the Arabs.
Yishmael is basically the name you caused problems to my mother.
What do you mean?
Because it says Yishmael, I heard your...
Oh, right, right. Oh, you say the name.
Basically,
right.
He's saying, you know, right. This is you caused problems to my mother.
Right.
Yishmael.
Right. So the question is, why is Sarai so upset at Avram? So we know there's a Rashi in the beginning of this week's Parsha, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Hei. It says, V'esa nefesh asher asu b'charan. It talks about Avram leaves with Sarai, with the nefesh that they made in Haran, and the Rashi famously points out that Avram converted a whole bunch of men, and Sarah, Megiyar Sadashim, they were a team, right? They were like an unbelievable, like, Kiruv team. Avram, converted the men, and Sarah converted the women. And so it's as if they made these people, these converts. So they were a team. This will and by making Hagar, what does it say? Vatekal Gavirta Beneha. So Sandra, it might not be that Sarah did not appreciate the change that would happen, but it might be that Hagar basically said, "Oh, look at me, I got pregnant, you didn't get pregnant. So now I'm the chosen one. And you're not the chosen one anymore." So it could be how Hagar reacted to being pregnant in lowering the status of Sarai that got Sarai angry. So and
Avram might have acted differently toward her, because actually she's going to have a son.
Right? Maybe. We don't know. It could be what we know. Again, the evidence from the text is. This is what happened. She got pregnant. She's Vatera Kiharasa. She saw that she got pregnant. Vateka Gavirta Beideha. And then Sarah responds to Avram. So we don't know that Avram did anything wrong or reacted in any way. It just said that basically that in Hagar's eyes, right, she no longer saw herself as the maidservant of Sarai. So it could be that the simple reading is that she Hagar related to Sarai different after she got pregnant. That wasn't the deal, and that's why Sarai gets upset. But the Ramban is not happy with her behavior, even though we feel that maybe she's justified. Now, this was an ancient institution, by the way. Again, they won't do this now. Well, now you can do surrogate, right? You can do surrogate now. You don't actually have to have relations with the man in order to, let's say a couple can't have children. So nowadays, you can have a surrogate, or you can have a someone can donate an egg donor, whatever the case is, or sperm donor. But in the old days, they would actually, the barren woman would give her maidservant to her husband as a wife for the purpose of having children. Again, this was done. Rachel does this to Yaakov, and Rachel views the children as her own, right? In other words, Rachel names the children. So in other words, Sandra, when you're saying Ulai Banam Imena, that Sarah is saying, you know, maybe in the schus of this, I'm going to, you know, I'll in the merit of Hagar getting pregnant, maybe I'll get pregnant, maybe. But it seems from the way Rachel and Leah react to Bilha and Zilpah giving birth to children, Rachel and Leah name these children and they view them as their own children. If your maidservant has a child, they're like my children. Yes, you're the biological pet mother, but I'm going to raise the child. And this practice of bringing a wife, a maid into the home to help there's a practice of a wife bringing a maid into the home to help with the wife's domestic responsibilities, the Mishnah Ksuvos, which talks about that a wife can bring a maidservant to do certain jobs. And this was the time when the women really didn't go out to work that much. So the women had certain home responsibilities, but many women would bring in a maidservant to do some of their chores. Already in the times of Chazal, right in the times of the Mishnah, we don't find the idea of giving one's maid to a husband to bear children on behalf of the mistress. In other words, we don't find this concept after the period of the Avos. We don't have that. We have in the Torah, you have in the Torah of an Eved Ivri, you have in the Torah of an Eved Ivri, so one of the rights that a master has for an Eved Ivri is he can give his non-Jewish maidservant to have relations with the Eved Ivri, and he would have the children would be his in a sense. Again, that's a topic unto itself. But I just want to point out that you might have this kind of behavior, the avos, maybe in the times when the Torah was given. Certainly in the times of Chazal, you don't have it at that time. If you look in Hammurabi, the practice of Sarah and Rachel giving a maidservant, you find this in ancient Near Eastern cultures. The Code of Hammurabi in law number chapter 144 says if a man take a wife and this woman give her husband a maidservant and she shall bear him children, but this man wishes to take another wife, this shall not be permitted to him. He shall not take a second wife. Okay, so if you want to take a wife and she gives a maidservant and she has children, so you can't have another wife. Is the maidservant. So we have this concept of a woman giving her husband a maidservant. And then we have in 146, 147, if a man takes a wife and she gives the man a maidservant as a wife, that's what Sarah did, and she bears him children. And then this maid assumes equality with the wife, which is what Hagar did, right? Because she has borne him children, her master shall not sell her for money. So in other words, you're not allowed to, in our case, Sarai gives Hagar to Avram to have a child. If Hagar has a child, then Avram is no longer allowed to sell Hagar into slavery, but he may keep her as a slave. He can keep her as a slave, reckoning her among the maidservants. So she can stay as a slave. What we see from here is that the ancient codes definitely had this practice. If there was a couple that didn't have children, they would take a maidservant. The maidservant would have relations with the owner, and then the child would belong to the child would be the child of the father and not the biological mother, but the wife of the father. But she would still be a maidservant. So Sarai actually went one above. Sarai said, Hagar, you and Rachel and Leah followed suit. And they said that, you know, their maidservants, they can actually full-fledged marry Avram, they can marry Yaakov. However, when it came to Sarah said, but you still have to be my maidservant. The problem with Hagar is that Hagar, she basically said, once she had a child, she said, no, I'm not second fiddle anymore, right? In fact, in Mishle, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, so the Mishle says there are a bunch of things that the earth, you know, trembles at, and it can't handle. One of them is Vishivcha Kitirash Gevirta, a maidservant who sort of like supplants her mistress. So that's the point. In other words, Rashi points out, Vayavo el Hagar Vatahar, Mibir Rishona. So Hagar, Rashi says, so she got pregnant from the first time they had relations. But take al Gvirta Beida. So she felt she lowered her mistress in her esteem. Amra Hagar said, Sarazu Eina Satra Kigluya, Mara Atzma Kili Tzadekas Veda Tzadekas. Oh, you know, Sarai, she appears to be this firm woman, right? A very righteous woman. She's not what she appears to be. She appears to be a righteous person. She's not a righteous person. Why? Shelo zachsa lehirayon kol hashanim halalu. So she didn't get pregnant all these years. Oh yeah, she said, oh yeah, it's Avraham's fault. He's the one why not. No. Sarai makes, oh, I'm so righteous. What happens? Anini sabarti v'birishona. I got pregnant from the first time we had relations. So obviously I'm a tzaddikus. She's not a tzaddikus. Okay? So...
Rabbi?
Yeah, wait. First, I'm sorry. First, Evan, and then B. Yeah, Evan. What did you say?
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. Evan?
Can I go back?
Yeah.
You make the analogy between Rachel and Sarah.
Yeah.
Isha and Leisha, right?
Right.
The situation is not analogous. As Sarah, Abram was her husband. Was her husband. By Rachel, he also had Leah as a wife of Yaakov. They couldn't say her husband because he's not her husband. She's both of their husbands. So it's not an analogous situation that you made before.
No, but I'm saying, but it could have said, what I'm saying is, he could have said, the point of the way the Netziv understands this, you could disagree with that. The Netziv understands it that Rachel and Leah both said that Bilhah and Zilpah, they're on our same status. It's true, you're two. They're already two wives. That's true. But they're saying once they gave these maidservants to Yaakov, and then it's not simply that they are wives to Yaakov, but still lower than Rachel and Leah. They're equal status to Rachel and Leah. Sarah wanted to retain that sense of superiority to Hagar, even after vis-a-vis Avram, she was a wife.
That's the way it says Isha, her husband.
I understand, but it says Isha also by Rachel and Leah.
No, it doesn't. It says Leisha for a wife. It doesn't say to her husband Leisha. You have Isha twice by.
Oh, to her husband Leisha. So these things, Yaakov. But no. So it's lowly Isha only to her husband as an Isha. But that's the lashon here. He says, but I understand, but I think the way that Hamikdav is explaining it is she's an Isha, lowly Isha, specifically to Avram, as opposed to Bilhah and Zilpah, which are an Isha, that they are simply an Isha. They are a wife for Yaakov. B, you want to say something? B?
I hope I remember.
Sorry.
Isn't it possible that Sarai is also reacting to Avram's lack of reaction regarding Hagar getting pregnant? In other words, Hagar gets pregnant right away.
Right.
Now she's put in a very bad, and Hagar has spoken sort of against her, but at the same time, Avram is treating Hagar with very differently than I think Sarai expected.
Right. So maybe, so, right. In others, maybe. The point is, we'd have to be reading into that. And you might be right. All I'm saying is, Vayavo el Hagar, Vatar Vatera Kiarasa, Vatekal Gvirta Beidaha. So it seems that Hagar's only acting, that Hagar's just, Avram's doing nothing. But it seems from Pasuk Hey that I'm angry at you, Avram, so maybe Avram didn't respond. In other words, Hagar is treating Sarah inappropriately, and maybe Avram doesn't respond. But it doesn't seem that Avram does anything. Immediately after Vatekel Gvirta Beineha, then Sarai gets upset at Avram. I mean, Avram might have acted a certain way, but I'm just looking at what the text says. So let me sort of just kind of summarize a little bit. And you can view this in other words, you have the Ramban and also the Radak. We don't have time to do the Radak, but you have the Ramban who's critical. You have the Code of Hammurabi. We're saying she's actually better than the Code of Hammurabi. After all, what happens? What happens? The angel says, go back and suffer under her. So in other words, she was right. In other words, what should have happened? She went above and beyond. She said, vis-a-vis Avram, you could be a full-fledged wife, but you're still second fiddle to me. Hagar gets pregnant, and then she tries to supplant her mistress, and therefore Sarah simply puts her in her place. So on the one hand, it seems that it was legitimate, and yet the Ramban feels that it wasn't legitimate. I just want to suggest that perhaps we can combine the Ramban's approach also with the Code of Hammurabi approach. In other words, it could be that Sarah was legitimate for what she did from a pure legal standpoint. In other words, what's the custom of the day, how she acted. And she even went above and beyond by allowing her to be, allowing Hagar to be a wife. And by the way, that might have been her undoing. Because of that, then Hagar took advantage of that maybe. But it seems that putting her back in her place, is it seems that what she did was appropriate from a pure legal standpoint. However, maybe she should have gone above and beyond. Maybe she should have done chesed. And maybe she should have had faith in Hashem that Hashem would take care of the situation. You know, so it's hard to know. It depends if you, it might also depend if you view this story from a personal perspective or from a covenantal perspective. Maybe from a personal perspective, she should have gone above and beyond. And okay, Hagar wants to be like that, but she shouldn't throw Hagar out. She is pregnant. But maybe she has a right from a covenantal perspective. After all, Avram Megayer es Hanashim, Sarah Megayer es Hanashim. She knew that she believed in what Avram believed. Hagar did not believe in that. So maybe, you know, Avram is all chesed. He's all, I want to do more, you know. Sarah puts her foot down because not only necessarily because she's feeling bad and feeling upset, but she realizes what she believes in, and she realizes what Hagar believes, and she needs to be Sarah Imenu. So in other words, in order to preserve Sarah Imenu, she felt it's important for me to be like that. Obviously, the Ramban felt that she should have gone above and beyond and not acted like that. But I think, you know, I think I'm trying to just present different approaches as to justify her behavior and to also criticize her behavior. And it depends if you look at it from a personal perspective or a covenantal perspective. Any final thoughts?